We did a season on You Are Significant, and we're just asking everyone who was on that to tell us where they're at, really, and relate part of their journey into a Bible character, and then bring that, share that on a blaze. And last week, Alison Ross did Moses and encountering how he encountered God, and that was just really, really good. Really good discussion afterwards, wasn't it? And it was just brilliant. And then, so that's Tuesday, and then Thursday is prayer breakfast, and then Sunday we're back here next week. Just to say, we're doing Christmas bags again. I know we've always called them hampers before, but I'm calling them bags this year. And we're partnering with Feast to ensure each person, first of all, receives a voucher for a local supermarket between £10 and £30, so they can buy some Christmas meat or a vegetarian option, whatever they'd like of their choice. But then we're also going to give a bag of treats. So things like stuffing, cranberry,
chocolates.
Yeah, I really hope that is the response, actually. Yeah, so it's a little list of things which every single person will get. And that's about 120 people, I think, will get that. So they'll get a voucher. And then the churches are going to be collecting the extra bits. So you can either make up a bag or buy 10 pots of gravy granules or whatever you feel. Having a bag is quite useful if they're made up, because then we've got them all ready. So I'll put those on there. And we actually need them, I think, by the second week of December. So if you don't want to shop, you can give money direct to Feast now. How do you do that, hon?
Well, you can contact me and I can give you the bank details. Or you can go through the website feast.org.uk. So you can go through that as well. If you want to make a cheque, go to Feast. Capital letters, F-E-A-S-T.
What does Feast stand for?
Families eating and sharing together. Because it started out really, we're doing meals in the school holidays, but it's grown into a top-up larder, so fresh food is available every week. And people pay £2 and they can get, I think it's three different veg, three different fruits, meat, and like ham or yogurts, butter, that type of thing. And Sainsbury's collect for us and various other places collect for us. And so there's tins out as well. Co-op collect for us. Yes, Sandy, thank you. Asda have just given us £1,000, so that's really good. But actually, we see it very much about building relationship. So we're building relationship with people there, and that's been really, really good. There's a cafe that runs as well, and also a community lunch, which the Methodist Church put on. But we're actually going to give some money as a church towards that. Pete and I are usually there helping out. And just, it's really, really, really is amazing. It's a charity now as well, so Pete's been helping get it formed as a charity. So we've gone from 35 people in the summer up to 60 in the space of that time, in the morning, 60, yeah, at the two different locations, one at St. Stephen's and one at the Methodist Church. But it's been really good. I just want to look at something very quickly with a view really for us to seeing the reality of where we're positioned to bring us into a new place. I don't know about anybody else, but you've only got to look at the news or be at things like Feast and hear the stories and just think, my goodness, we need to live from that other realm. We really need to be well positioned to bring the kingdom. And so I wanted to just have a look at very quickly and go through some verses you will know incredibly well, but just with the hope that Jesus will give us an even higher reality to live from towards this world. So shall we just pray? Just pray. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, Lord, we love you. As we've been singing, you are wonderful. And I thank you, Lord, that you have done everything to give us life in abundance as we walk in this world. And I pray this morning, Lord, that you will take us higher into the reality of that heavenly realm where you've positioned us, that we can live more and more from heaven towards earth. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So I'm going to look at Psalm 24. And actually, we use this psalm a lot when we pray for the second part, where it's lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up ancient doors. We use that a lot when we pray for the town. It's very much, we feel, like a verse for Tunbridge. But then I started to look at the beginning of it, and I love it. It's a psalm of David. If you've got your Bibles, Psalm 24, Psalm of David. And it starts, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness of it, the world and those who dwell in it. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the streams and the rivers." And I don't know about you, but I think autumn and, autumn particularly, I think with the colours out there, it's such a time, isn't it, to look and think, my goodness, this is what God has done. This, the beauty of autumn just speaks of everything, of who he is. And David could certainly had that revelation as well. It was his view. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness of it, the world and those who dwell in it. And then he says, "Who may ascend onto the mountain of the Lord, and who may stand in his holy place?" And I remember, I was talking to Pete, in fact, Guy and Trina, Pete and I, we went to Bath years ago to a youth leaders conference. I don't know if you remember.
Yeah,
and a lady, it just shows you how you can sometimes not hear a message right. But she was talking about this, who may ascend onto the mountain of the Lord, who may stand in his holy place, with an aspect that made me think I had to keep doing something. I had to be something to access this place. "He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to what is false, nor has sworn deceitfully, he shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God, the God of his salvation." And so I had this sense that there was something, I was always a bit short, to get to this place, to come before God. But of course, God's so kind, he's taken me on a journey. And I've come to the reality of knowing that in Jesus, that's me. I can ascend that place. I can go into that holy place because of what he's done. And so I've pulled out a few verses, but what I'd love for people to do is see the reality in your mind's eye. You know, God is bigger than anything we can ask, think, or imagine. So when we use our sanctified imagination, let's imagine this place that David saw. He saw ahead of his time. He saw there was going to be this place. He saw there was going to be this generation who could go to this place. He could see that. And that's us. That's who we are. So my first verse, of course, is Ephesians 2:6. So we are raised up together with him when we believed. We are raised to this place. And we're seated with him in the heavenly places. Picture what that looks like. We're with him in the heavenly places because we are in Christ Jesus. This is what David saw. "He shall receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of those who diligently seek him and require him as their greatest need." And don't we need him? We really need him. And this is where we're seated. In Ephesians 4:7, it says, "He took captivity captive." Everything that held us captive, anything that's holding any one of us captive today, Jesus has taken captive. So we can go and we can stand in that place. We can be in that place, that holy place, before our Father in heaven. Jesus, 1 John 3:8 says, "He destroyed every work of the enemy." Are we expecting it? It's like we want to live expecting those works. When we talk to people at feasts, my heart is, I want to see Jesus destroy the work, the curse that people are living under. I want to see that. I want people set free. And that's what Jesus has done. He's taken everything that held them captive into captivity, and he gave gifts to men. So he's put us, he's seated us in that heavenly realm when we believed in him. Just picture that heavenly realm right now. That's where we are right now. We've got this dual living, but it's more and more in our day, I think, we have to learn to live from heaven towards earth, not held by the circumstances and the grip of things that are going on in the world at the moment. I just love it that David says, this is the generation. And then I'm thinking, that's me. I'm the generation that are going to live in that place. Okay, and then Jesus says, you have the Holy Spirit to guide you. So I've put you in heaven. You're in heavenly places. I've taken everything captive. Now you have the Holy Spirit. Walk with him. He's going to show you truth. There's sometimes such a sense that people still live as a sin person, a sinner, when Jesus has dealt with that, as a Christian, I mean, that they live under that weight of sin and not in the freedom that Jesus has died for and in the power of the life of the Holy Spirit, who leads us into truth and takes us, shows us the way, reminds us of what Jesus has done. It's just, he's just wonderful. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And 1 John 1:7 says, now walk in the light. Walk in that light. Walk in what Jesus has done. Walk in the light. Don't walk looking back over your shoulder what you might have been or what you might have done. Walk in his light as an everyday reality. And I can do it sometimes. But other times when stuff crashes in, it can be very hard to walk in that place of the light and unbroken fellowship with Jesus, abiding constantly in him, knowing I'm seated with him in that heavenly realm, and the Father is delighted in who I am. And I know that we've heard this message down the years, but I feel like there's an urgency for us to really understand and take that place, take up our position in the heavenly realm above everything else that's going on, knowing who we are and knowing that our declarations and our voice are bringing change to this world. So that's really what it's about. And then 1 John 3:21 says, we can walk if our conscience tells us that we're not guilty. So, you know, God's not showing us something we need to deal with. We can walk in confidence and boldness before God. So as we walk in the light, as we walk in along with the Holy Spirit, leading and guiding us into truth, in the light, then we can come confidently before God. And we're not talking about putting any confidence in the flesh, which it's funny because Ruth and I were talking about how, you know, when you've got a problem, especially if it's with a child or an elderly parent, you want to sort it out, don't you, really quickly? And it's like, I've got to make this right. And especially for me, I'm a bit of a, like, I want to move you on from where you are and I want to get you from where I can see you should be. And it's not putting any confidence in what we can do, putting all our confidence in what he can do. And we are getting more testimonies, aren't we, about, you know, when we just keep walking, keep going, keep trusting, keep living in that place, living in from that heavenly realm, seeing from his perspective, but seeing in our spirit what that realm is, the life in that realm, the glory in that realm, becoming more aware of that realm. So I just want to really pray that when we come to communion, that we will see more and more from that realm. Because, you know, we can come before God as we walk in the light. Jesus, actually, I'm going to read that because it's good. The Bible, love it. Who loves their Bible?
Yes.
Love it. Oh, I'm so thankful for his word. So 1 John 1:7 in the Amplified. If we really walk in the light, so it's a journey, we're walking, we're not stopping in the light every so often, we walk, it's in our everyday life, That is, live each and every day in conformity with the precepts of God. So live according to what he's showing us, his current word, what's his now word, what's he now saying to me. For me, as an example of that, I feel like he's challenging me on what I speak out. So that's my now word, so I'm trying to live accordingly to speaking positively, being careful what I say. That's the now word, so that's part of what I'm living in. As he himself is in the light, and we have true, unbroken fellowship with one another. He with us, and we with him. There's unbroken fellowship. Whatever you're going through, you have and you're living in the light, there's unbroken fellowship. It's the same as abiding in Jesus. And the blood of Jesus, so remember, we're walking, we're living in the light, and as we're walking and we're living in the light, we're in unbroken fellowship, and his blood is cleansing us. He is cleansing us. And just as an aside, I think sometimes people get hung up on perhaps mistakes they make and think that's sin. But God can, if God's not revealing something to us as sin, it's difficult to bring it to him, isn't it? So if you don't realise that that thought pattern's a sin, how can you bring it to God? So God has to reveal things so that we can change. So we mustn't trip up. Don't trip up over, oh, I've made a mistake. It's different to something that is against God, if that makes sense. I sort of know what I'm saying, but it's something that's half for me. Is that all right? Does it make sense?
Yeah.
I think sometimes people think they've made mistakes and they're a sinner. You're not a sinner. You're walking in the light. You're walking with Jesus. You're abiding. His blood is constantly cleansing us. It's beautiful because it draws us deeply into a relationship with God. I mean, you know, we know our need. We can't put any confidence in our flesh. We know our need of God. So that helps us remain humble. So we have true unbroken fellowship with one another, he with us and we with him. The blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin, erasing the stain, keeping us cleansed from sin in all its forms and manifestations. So if he's going to keep us keep us cleansed from sin, he's got to show us when we're in sin. So we have to completely rely on him. So that's it, really. That's all I wanted. I just wanted to really encourage us that we have access. We have unbelievable access to the realm, to his realm. Oh, let's just read to me. 1 John 3:21. I love all these. I'm just speaking this all over myself because I love all these verses so much. He's putting in a fresh confidence for us to see the reality of this place that David saw ahead of his day and talked about the generation that's us that can go into that place. So this is my final one. It's just really... okay. Whenever our heart convicts us in guilt... Oh, sorry, that's the end. For God is greater than our heart and he knows all things. Nothing is hidden from him because we are in his hands. Beloved, if our heart does not convict us of guilt, we have confidence, complete assurance and boldness before God. And we receive from him whatever we ask because we carefully and consistently keep his commandments. So we keep walking with him and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. We're listening to the now word of God. We're walking. What are you saying now, Lord? What do you want me to do? What do I need to confess? Habitually seeking to follow his plan for us. This is God. This is the Father. This is what he does. That doesn't say that. I'm saying that. So as we come to communion, let's just believe for that revelation of living from the realm of heaven. Living that third heaven reality, so that when we face something, we know we're in that place. We've been walking in the light. We've been walking with the Holy Spirit. Jesus is cheering us on. His blood has done it. His blood has got us to that place. It's a wonderful, wonderful life. even when it's not wonderful, it's wonderful, and he's wonderful. So we thank you, Lord, we thank you. Thank you for everything you've done, Lord. We pray fresh revelation on the reality of being seated in heavenly places. Fresh revelation on the fact that you took captivity captive. Everything that held us captive, you took captivity. So nothing is impossible for you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay, let's have communion.